This winter, keep your home warm and help lower your energy bills with Warmflow, the home heating experts. With an eco-friendly range of high-efficiency oil boilers and Zeno R290 air and ground source heat pumps, Warmflow provides home heating solutions designed to save you money while keeping you cozy, whatever the weather. Trusted for over 50 years, Warmflow delivers heating that works smarter, not harder. For all your home heating needs, visit warmflow.co.uk.
Moncrief on News Talk.
By law, electric vehicles are required to make a sound so pedestrians can be aware of their presence. But are they still a wee bit too quiet? Florian F. from the Technological University of the Shannon is part of a team that have been doing a bit of research into this. Good afternoon, Florian.
Good afternoon, Sean. Lovely to talk to you.
Is there a difference between how people hear things and how a detector might determine a sound?
Yes, exactly. So we did a project there. It was a Research Ireland funded project with my colleagues, Dr. Dorn Fitzpatrick and Dr. Derek Craddock, and others at the National Disability Authority. And we analysed the experiences and the opinions of pedestrians with visual impairments when it comes to their encounters with electric vehicles. And as you rightly point out, electric vehicles are inherently quiet. I'm sure your listeners have plenty of e-scooter stories to tell. And since 2019, four-wheel vehicles, electric vehicles, have to produce this artificial, sometimes futuristic sound. And we wanted to look at that in context for how people are actually still experiencing those encounters with electric vehicles. And unfortunately, we did find that that is still negative, right? So that actually aligns with studies in Sweden, the UK and Germany comparing conventional petrol and diesel sounds with these newer electric vehicle sounds.
Yeah. And when you say negative, what was the source of the negativity?
Yeah, so people relayed back that they weren't able to detect the vehicles on time. They weren't able to know how far away the vehicles were, which direction they were coming from. And even though the regulation does specify things like it has to be a certain volume or it has to have certain tones in the signature of the sound, there is something different that's going on when we hear a petrol or diesel engine, which is much richer in terms of the type of sounds that it's actually producing due to the mechanical aspects of the engine compared to electric vehicles.
Mm. Is it definitely the sound, or perhaps, you know, over the years, most of us are attuned to hearing electric or fossil fuel engines more easily?
Possibly, but the studies, particularly in Germany and Sweden, where they actually looked at the sound itself, are noticing certain subtle attributes, even things like the speed of the vehicle or the change of speed of the vehicle. Even though electric vehicles have to have some kind of notification in their sound to signify speed changes, there's something going on that's richer in the mechanical attributes of a petrol or diesel car that we're not quite capturing in the electric vehicle zone.
Yeah, are the indications are that it's about volume or the tone of it?
It's a combination of things. So, like what we have at the moment is standards would evaluate the compliance of electric vehicle sound, for example, in a pass-by scenario. So they would set up microphones on a test track. The test track has no reflective surfaces, no big buildings around it, etc., and doesn't have a background noise level. So we're kind of testing these out of context. And the level that you can pick up with the microphone and sound meters, that's actually quite different if you bring those into the context of an urban setting, for example. So we're not testing, you know, in context, perhaps.
Yeah, and I suppose the sound of an electric car as it's speeding up, does that sound change?
It does change, yes. So it is mandated that it has to change to signify that. There are elements in the regulation that are trying to cater for these and to give these cues to people. But If you can imagine having 20 or 30 electric vehicle sounds around you, it's just the composition of that type of sound. It's harder to tell where that sound is coming from and what direction. And again, those studies in Germany in particular have been looking at distance detection, for example. So, you know, testing when people step out onto the road. Mm. Obviously, you know, this is a safe testing environment for that. But they did statistically see a significant difference between the petrol and diesel sounds when people were actually stepping out onto the junction versus electric vehicle sounds themselves.
My word, that's interesting. So does it require more study, or do they need to get back out with different sounds and test them in real environments?
I think there's a combination of a lot of these different things. So, like, I mean, just to put into context that we're talking about electric vehicles that are travelling below 20 kilometres an hour, because once vehicles go above that, what we're actually hearing is tyre on road sound. So all vehicles kind of sound alike that way. Mm. So we're talking about shared spaces between pedestrians and vehicles. And really, it's about pulling people with visual disabilities into the design loop. So actually getting their feedback, because people with visual disabilities rely heavily on being able to accurately detect vehicles using sound. So it's getting people into the design loop itself, and actually getting a lot of the more up-to-date academic research into the standards and regulations. And I guess one way to do that is actually to engage with the national standards bodies. So the National Standards Authority of Ireland, for example, is a great conduit to pull these elements into the standards and regulations, because they have reach to the industry and the regulations themselves.
Flory, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Flory Neff there from TUS. You are
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.